Good evening.
Good evening.
Perhaps this is the best place. No worry about flying. No, it's... And Jesus had never been worried, since he never used notes. Well, our text for today is from 2 Peter, chapter 1. It is actually from verses 5 through 11. But let us read, to understand the context, let us read from verse 1 through 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. I'm using the NIV version. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Most holy, loving, and righteous God, we are thankful for this time as your people gather here to worship you, glorify you, and be edified by your word. Lord Jesus, we ask your Holy Spirit, our counselor, comforter, and guide, may lead us and guide us according to your word and will. In Christ's name I ask. Amen. In the very first four verses of this chapter, as Christians, we have many privileges through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. For example, in verse 2, grace and peace is multiplied in knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. But again, in verse 3, all that believers need for spiritual vitality and godly life, godly living, is attainable through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why today's our topic is growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. This intimate full knowledge of Christ is the source of spiritual power and growth, according to verse 2. And such knowledge is related to wonderful blessings of effectiveness and productiveness of Christian life in today's text. Peter not only begins his epistle with this truth, but he also closes his epistle with, in this way. But grow, chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory and both now and forever. Amen. Regarding this fact, at least three significant questions come to mind. What does it mean to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? And second, how can we be sure that we are growing in this knowledge? And why is Peter so much concerned that we should grow in this knowledge? We will find the answer to these questions by examining today's text with the humble submission to the Word of God. In our study, we will focus on two foundational areas by asking these two questions. What growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ involves, first of all, what growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ involves, and secondly, what is the critical reason and goals for growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? In other words, why should we be growing in this knowledge? So when we focus on first question, what growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ involves, first of all, according to today's text, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ involves the demonstration of eight particular graces or qualities mentioned in today's text. Let me say again, first of all, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ involves the demonstration of eight graces or qualities mentioned in our text. And they are mentioned in verses 5 through 7. These graces are listed in 5 through 7. If we are to briefly define, faith is a conviction, strong assurance, virtue is moral excellence or goodness. Knowledge is correct insight. Self-control is self-discipline. Perseverance is bearing up under trials. Goodness is godly character out of devotion to God. Brotherly kindness is love toward brethren. And love is active goodwill toward those in need. Where is faith in this list? Did you notice? It comes first in this list. In this list of eight graces or qualities, faith comes first. Faith is, of course, the first characteristic because without it, Christians are no different from the pagans in the world. If there's no faith in Christ. The faith Peter referred to is faith in Christ, faith that brings them into the family of God. While people might have some of the following characteristics or qualities by nature, those are worthless in eternity without being grounded in true faith in Christ. But Christians are not to stop at faith, though we are saved by faith alone and grace alone. Peter knew, like James, that faith without works is dead. In other words, faith must be more than beliefs in certain facts or mere orthodoxy. We love that, and it's important. It must result in action, growth in Christian character and practice of moral discipline according to James chapter 2 verses 14 through 17. Very well known text. In our text, Peter lists several actions of faith. Those qualities or graces are actually the actions of faith, such as learning to grow, such as learning to know God better, developing perseverance, doing God's will, and loving others, and so on. The believers had work to do. Their faith was to produce a life of moral excellence, and regarding the practice of moral excellence, a discipline, Paul wrote like this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 through 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. While the Greek philosopher discussed such moral excellence at length, we cannot discuss right now, they did. But Peter explained that true godliness could be found only in relationship with Christ. That is Peter's point and focus. To their faith, believers were to add lifestyle that mirrored Christ, as it is, as according to verse 3. That life of moral excellence should lead to knowing God better. Again, we can notice the importance of these spiritual qualities or graces in verse 8. But if anyone does not have them, these graces or qualities, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. If it's true, if we are forgotten God's grace that he has washed our sins, how horrible or terrible it would be, especially for Christians. Therefore, Christian growth results in spiritual effectiveness and productivity through growing in these graces. The Greek word here, huparchanta, literally means possessing or possess, to have. The word emphasizes that these qualities should belong to every Christian. However, Christians are to do more than merely possess these qualities or virtue or these graces. Sometimes we are proud of that. We have such a quality. We are discussing this morning about the gifts. But Christians are not only to possess these qualities. The text says, effective and productive spirituality comes as these qualities are held in increasing measure. In verse 8b. For if you possess these qualities in how? Increasing measure. Only then can it be said that we are growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is something more than simply increasing our intellectual knowledge of Christ, which has a place, J.I. Packer, in his book Knowing God and Knowing God, to distinguish between to know God and to know about God. That was the first book, as I maybe mentioned, I read in the seminary. It's a wonderful book. Though intellectual knowledge has a place, but Peter is talking about growing in a full and personal knowledge, which comes by developing the Christ-like attributes, attitudes defined in our text. The more we grow in these graces, the more we really know Jesus. Why? Because he is the perfect personification of these graces or qualities or attributes. True knowledge of Christ comes only as we demonstrate these Christ-like graces in our lives. There's a story or illustration like this. Story about Chinese missionary. I know China is very dear to RPCNA. The story is told of a missionary to China who was in a language school. The very first day, of the class, the teacher entered the room and, without saying a word, walked down every row and row of students. Finally, still without any word, she walked around the room second time. Then she came back and addressed the class and asked this question: "Did you notice anything special about me?" She asked. Nobody could think of anything in particular, but one of the students raised a hand and said, "I noticed that you had on a very lovely perfume." So everybody laughed. The teacher said, "That was exactly my point." She said, "It will be a long time before any of you will be able to speak Chinese well enough to share the gospel with anyone in China. But even before you are able to do that, you can minister the sweet fragrance of Christ to these people by the quality of your life. It is your lifestyle, lived out among the Chinese people, which is Christ-like life." We saw that growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ involves demonstration of 8 specific qualities. We cannot study each separately. It involves the demonstration of these graces. But secondly, it involves growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ involves not only demonstrating these qualities in your life, but developing these graces in conjunction with each other. Growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, secondly, involves developing these graces in conjunction with each other. Notice the word "add" in verse 5, or supply. "For this very reason, make every effort to add to faith." It goes add and add and add. Before each grace mentioned, the word is implied, add. The word in Greek means support a chorus to keep in tone, or supply or provide. This word therefore suggests that idea of each grace working in harmony with the others to produce an overall effect. Now Notice also the preposition to or in Greek en, in verses 5 through, constantly in verses 5 through 7. This also suggests that each grace is to make perfect the grace that goes before it. Again, to illustrate, to knowledge adds self-control. The grace of self-control enables one to apply properly the knowledge one has. To self-control add perseverance. Self-control in turn needs the quality of perseverance to be consistent day after day. These graces do not come automatically, so they are not optional. All of them must be constant part of every Christian life. And all of these graces must be developed and demonstrated in conjunction with each other or each graces. It means you do not finish one and start on the next. You finish first one grace or one quality, complete. We don't believe in entire sanctification type of thing. You do not finish one and start on the next, and you cannot choose your favorites and leave others out. We cannot be selective and just pick the one which we like and leave others behind. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, examine yourself how these graces are developed and demonstrated in your life. We saw that, first of all, the growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, according to today's text, involves the demonstration of these graces mentioned by Peter, and secondly, the developing of these graces in conjunction with each other. And thirdly, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ involves diligent effort. In verse 5 and 10. Notice the word diligence in verse 10. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. And also in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort. Growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ involves diligent effort. Which means earnestness, zeal, or sometimes that zeal with haste. Now, haste usually makes waste, but sometimes we need. To grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ requires much effort. I remember, maybe I have told you last time, my professor, Dr. Che, a few years back when I was in a PhD course, he went to Greece to visit the area, this city, also the Turkey, several areas where Paul was and wrote letter to. When he came back and he said in the class, I saw just two Christians, or to say evangelists, that we, during his visit there, there were only two he found. They were inviting people, or they were sharing, might be, I don't know which kind of gospel, but there were two people sharing the gospel. But he said, those were only from Jehovah's Witness. There wasn't any Presbyterian, any Baptist, even any Pentecostal. So sometimes we need to know as well, and to make known the gospel and Jesus Christ. Sometimes we need earnestness, zeal, and to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ requires much effort. It's not just you're sitting there and because you believe that you have right theology or right facts, you know. That said, we do not accidentally or naturally develop these graces. If we are not careful, we may be like the teacher in the following illustration. If we are lazy. In his book, Folk Psalms of Faith, Ray Steadman, mentioned mourning, tells a story of women who had been school teacher for 24 years. When she heard about a job that would mean a promotion, she applied for that position. However, someone who had been teaching for only 1 year was hired instead. What was her reaction? She went to the principal and asked why. Why he's hired? Why not me? I've been working for 25 years. Principal's answer is very interesting and realistic. Principal responded, I'm sorry, but you haven't had 25 years of experience as you claim. You've had only 1 year experience 25 times. During that whole time, the teacher had not improved. That might be our own situation, or that might be me. How long have you been in the church? How long we have been? For me, I've been in the Roman Catholic Church for many years, but around 12 or years in 13 years. But there are people might be for their whole life. They are repeating just the same experience they had the first day. Dear brothers, dear people of God, are these graces working in conjunction with each other in your life? And you are increasingly conforming to Christ's image each day. As we said, we will focus on two main areas. First, what growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ involves. And the second area is, what is the critical reason and goal for growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Why should we be growing in this knowledge? I'm sure there's nobody here who really can say that I don't want to grow in Jesus Christ or in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. According to our text, there are very hard and strange and consequences if we fail to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In verse 9, if we read, failure to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ results in spiritual myopia or amnesia. That is a nearsight or blind if we don't grow constantly in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's danger of being a blind Christian or deceiving ourselves. Our religion is short-sighted if we are not growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, according to verse 9. For the ultimate object of being Christian, what is the ultimate object of being Christian? Why you are Christian? To be saved? Of course, that is His decision, and He has saved us. We are thankful. Praise Him. The goal, the reason, is to be like Christ day by day, every day. According to Romans 8:29 and Colossians 3:9, that is the goal, or that's the reason, to be like Christ, to conform to His image. As we have seen, this is what it really means to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Failure to grow is an indication that we forget why we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. If it is so, how shameful it would be. But then, if we are growing, but then we might present ourselves to God and become what He wants us to be, like His Son. If we grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, there are positive consequences. First there are negative consequences, then there are positive consequences. In verse 10, if you grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, demonstrate and develop these graces and qualities in your life. In verse 10, it's written, for if you do these things, you will never fall. You will never fall. This does not mean that we will never sin, because 1 John and chapter 1 verse 8 tells that if anybody say he does not sin, he's a liar. See, also the word stumble, you will never fall or stumble, does not suggest that a believer loses his salvation. Why? Because for salvation does not depend on our spiritual growth, if we grow or not. Salvation does not depend on our growth or how much we grow, how fast we grow. It does not depend on that. It depends on the sovereign God and His will, His divine election. The word stumble in Greek means to fall into misery or become wretched. But this is true only if we are giving all diligence to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ practically, personally. And in so doing, making our calling and election sure. Growing in the reason for growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ is that, first of all, it indicates our spiritual, it indicates about spiritual disease or spiritual, weakness, if we are not growing. Then positively, it shows that if we grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ personally and demonstrate all the qualities mentioned in this text, we will never stumble. Finally, the goal of growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ is based on the ultimate reward of growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. If we read, let me read from verse 10 and 11. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive rich welcome into eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The goal of growing in Jesus, becoming like Him, is based on the promise or the ultimate reward mentioned in today's text. If the ultimate goal of Christian life is to grow in these graces, which is, then the ultimate reward of growing in Jesus, in Christ-honoring life, is the personal welcome by the Savior into His kingdom. In verse 11. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Stephen, Deacon Stephen, experienced that. According to Acts 7:56, he saw that the heaven opened and the Son of Man was standing at the right hand of God. Let me read for you. Let me read from 55 and 56. Acts 7:55 and 6. But Stephen, full of Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. That is the reward of growing in these graces or in Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate reward Christ promised to us. And Paul also knew this when it was imminent for him, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And every believer will experience such a welcome when he enters the Lord's presence in God, in heaven. But we will, there's a lot of talk about rewards. What we will receive, I don't know. I have no idea. But I like Anthony Hookman's analogy. Though you can read yourself. There's a book back in the library. It's very wonderful what we will receive. But according to today's chat, we will receive a warm or rich welcome. Stephen saw that heaven opened and Jesus was standing there, welcoming him, sitting there. And that will be, every believer will experience such a welcome. You will receive a rich welcome is literally the entrance will be supplied richly for you. If you go through the narrow door or narrow road, then finally, at the end, the entrance will be supplied richly for you. If you grow in these graces or be like Jesus Christ, that is a promise. The entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be supplied with richness. It will be wonderful and wonderful welcome home. Dear people of God, these reasons should effectively motivate us to be diligent in growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I urge you and I urge you to give all diligence to make our calling and election sure by making every effort to add these graces to your life. If not, it means that we have forgotten that he has washed out our sins, our old sins. Or we are lazy in our desire to grow in Jesus Christ. If so, what we need? We need to repent and pray for forgiveness today. Are you growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ diligently? Are you making effort, even with zeal, or sometimes with haste, demonstrating Christ's likeness in your life? Pray that God may help each of us to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. We thank you, holy and merciful God, that you have brought us to know you and your Son by your Spirit and the Holy Scripture. Grant that, having received Christ our Lord, may we live in him and grow in his grace and knowledge. In Christ's name I ask. Amen.